Welcome to the Be Loud About What Matters podcast. I'm Olivia, your host. On this podcast, I will be bringing light to topics that are important but not discussed enough within our society. Episodes will include a range of topics, starting with the journey to conceive, pregnancy, birth, postpartum and motherhood, holistic healing and nutrition, and the importance of true informed consent and medical freedom. The goal of this podcast is to create connections, share stories, information, and resources to educate and empower people in their own personal journey. Hello, listeners. Hello, hello. Welcome. Welcome to the new and improved podcast. This change has been a long time coming. I feel like I was hesitant to make the transition. I don't know why. I mean, I'm not really shy about using my voice, as you all know, if you follow me at all. But I just felt that it was time. I felt that it was time that we made the transition and switched to a new name that I feel like encompasses everything that I really am very fired up and passionate about. And so welcome. I'm so excited to have you here. Thank you to everyone who has been following along and listening to the podcast over this past year. If you are here, thank you so much. If you are new, I'm so excited to have you here. But yes, this is the very first episode of the Be Loud About What Matters podcast. And I am very fired up about a few things that I'm going to be addressing in this episode. So first and foremost, this podcast is still going to be discussing pregnancy, birth, postpartum, motherhood, doula work, midwifery, everything along those lines. But the additional piece that we're going to be talking about is holistic health and nutrition and the importance of doing your own research and true informed consent and medical freedom, because it is something that I feel so deeply within my soul needs to be discussed more. And I've become even more so passionate about it since becoming a mother. Before, I definitely didn't use my voice as much, and I definitely didn't do as much research as I do now. But since having my daughter, I literally do research probably say every single day and or night. So the thing that I want to talk about today is the fact that you should not have to advocate for yourself so much during pregnancy, your birth, and the immediate postpartum if you are giving birth in a hospital. And so I wanted to touch on this because this is something that I've been worried about since last year when all of these crazy policies began being put in place. And so if you go to my Instagram, the Healthy Balanced Motherhood Instagram, there is a post from March of last year, and I'm walking around with Lula strapped to me in a carrier, and I'm talking about the trauma that I am concerned about that is going to be happening because of the policies that were being put in place in hospitals. And so those policies had to do with the fact that they were not allowing doulas, and in some cases they were not allowing husbands to be with their wives while they were laboring and giving birth. And then even more so, there were mothers that were being separated from their babies, and their babies were not being allowed to nurse, and their babies were being put into nurseries within hospitals, and they weren't allowing mothers to see them. And for anyone who's listening who says, no, that doesn't happen, it absolutely happens. There was a mother that this happened to a few months ago. So these policies, I want to remind everyone, policies are not laws. It is up to you. You have the choice to say no. You have the choice to leave a hospital. You have the choice to find a different provider who aligns with what you care about, what matters to you. You can always fire your provider. Always. And so I just really am very fired up. And more so, I mean, there are a few things that led up to this. In general, I've been feeling really, really fiery and passionate about this because I still genuinely cannot wrap my head around the fact that so many people do not see the issues that are occurring in our world that are detrimentally impacting our health on every level. There are so many layers to our health, mentally, physically, emotionally, and all of those things have been severely impacted over this past year. Your health is not just your physical health. It's your mental health. It's your emotional health. It's what you consume on a daily basis, whether it's the food that you're eating or what you're drinking, the people you spend your time with or what you're reading or what you're doing. All of those things impact your health. And the other issue, which I've touched on a few times in the past, on past episodes, I should say, is the fact that you are never going to find true health in a prescription bottle or in a shot. You're never going to find true health. And the other thing to mention is that healthcare needs to be individualized because every single person is different. Every single person has things within their body that make them feel really well or make them feel not well. And those things need to be discussed. And I really don't know where and why in our society we moved so far away from what's natural to us and what helps our body heal. That's a topic I could go on and on about. But so today I wanted to reel myself back in, go back to the fact that you should not have to advocate for yourself as much when you are giving birth in a hospital. And so this all starts, honestly, during your pregnancy. For me, I remember before my daughter was born, even before I was pregnant, I started doing research because I wanted to have a natural childbirth. That meant a lot to me. And I wanted to find resources to potentially bring with me to the midwives. And so I ended up having my daughter in a birth center within a hospital. And so I saw midwives throughout my entire pregnancy. And I had one ultrasound, and then I had appointments checking in more so towards the end. I never got a cervical check during any of my appointments. I did receive those while I was in labor, which looking back, I don't know why I did, and I definitely won't do when I have children in the future. I advocated for myself so strongly from the beginning of my pregnancy, and I don't know if that's just me. I know there are other moms who I've spoken with who also did that, but then there are a lot of moms that I've spoken with who have also had home births for this reason, or they had a very traumatic first birth and in turn ended up having a home birth or multiple home births after that. I have people that I know personally who have had traumatic births and then went on to have home births. And then there are people that I've connected with on Instagram who have reached out to me to share that they've had very traumatic births, to share how horrible they were treated by OBs or midwives or labor and delivery nurses. And I just want to remind everybody that it is extremely, extremely rare for OBs and labor and delivery nurses to have seen what a natural childbirth looks like. And so this is not to fault labor and delivery nurses and OBs. Our system is based on profit. It's not based on what's best for moms and babies. And this really irks me to my core. And again, another reminder, women gave birth to babies before they were giving birth to babies in hospitals. Where were they giving birth? They were giving birth at home. And a lot of people forget that. And so this moves into the whole topic of conversation about true informed consent when it comes to medical interventions during pregnancy and birth. And also the fact that there is so much fear-mongering that occurs during these prenatal appointments and during birth that is not based in evidence-based research. Sorry, I just realized I said based twice. But it's not. So all of these hospital protocols and policies and things that they have put in place are A, not based on what's best for mom and baby. They're based on the schedules of providers and profit. B, they do not provide true informed consent to mothers and fathers about what can potentially be a side effect for the mother or the baby after receiving these medical interventions. And it doesn't just occur during birth. There are issues that occur during postpartum and issues down the line. For example, if an epidural is placed in the incorrect spot, you can have severe migraines, you can have issues with your sciatic nerve, and sometimes the epidural doesn't even work. That's just one example. And I don't know about you guys, maybe it's just me, but home birth has always sounded more appealing. And now there's no way in hell I would ever give birth in a hospital again, ever, because of these policies and because of fear mongering. But the main reason why I'm so fired up today is because I'm in all of these doula groups on Facebook, Doulas of Massachusetts, and a variety of other ones. And I keep seeing these horrible, horrible posts from doulas, and they are talking about the treatment of their clients within hospital settings. And most of the time, nothing is done about the fact that they are being treated horribly, because these women are so afraid of these things that are being said to them. There are OBs that are saying, legitimately saying, your baby could die. Who does that? Why would you do that? And that's not even accurate. So I keep seeing these posts, and it's really, really disgusting me. And I'm commenting on these posts and saying every single OB, labor and delivery nurse, whoever, midwife, who is saying these things needs to be reported, because they are causing that woman, that mother, to have a traumatic childbirth experience. They are not allowing women to, allowing in air quotes, they're not giving women the opportunity to have the birth experience that they want. They are scaring them. And it's not based on what's best for the mother or the baby. It's based on their schedule. It's based on how much money they can make. And it's disgusting. It's really, really disgusting. So that was the first thing that I want to touch on. I keep seeing all of these posts that are really, really just irking me to my core, because I am so genuinely sad for all of these women and their husbands and these babies that are having these traumatic birth experiences, which can in turn impact future pregnancies and births, because they can feel anxious or stressed or emotional, or honestly have PTSD from their first birth experience if it was a negative one. And I don't understand how people can live with themselves, really. I really, really don't. And the other day, I saw a TikTok with two labor and delivery nurses, and it starts out with a caption that says, when a first-time mom has been pushing for 3 hours, and then it proceeds to show two of them dancing over to an OR table, putting goggles on, one has a scalpel in their hand. That is absolutely disgusting. That shows me that these labor and delivery nurses do not know one thing about what happens during labor. And a mother, a first-time mother, can absolutely be pushing for 3 hours. But another thing to note is that babies come when babies are ready. It is very, very rare that a baby really is in an emergency situation. Most of these emergencies, in air quotes, are created by medical interventions. They're created by OBs who say, oh, your baby's failing to progress. And they're saying they're failing to progress because they induced the mother before the baby was ready. So where is the patience? Where is the confidence in the fact that women have been doing this for hundreds and thousands of years? Women have been giving birth to babies. And prior to them giving birth in hospitals, women were doing it. And then there comes the people who say, oh, home birth is very, very dangerous, and X, Y, and Z. Most of the people who say that have not taken the time to actually do the research and educate themselves to actually understand the benefits of home birth. But at the same time, they don't spend any time reading the potential risks of the medical interventions provided within hospitals. Most of the time, they're also recommended. And like I said earlier, these recommendations, these policies, these protocols are not based on evidence-based research. They're just protocols. And like I said earlier about health, there's no one-size-fits-all. There needs to be an individualized mindset when it comes to birth. And I really don't understand how these providers and these nurses, and in some cases midwives too, can live with themselves when they cause so much stress to pregnant women. Everything that a pregnant mom feels, their baby feels too. So if that mom has a traumatic birth, that baby is going to feel that as well. it breaks my heart. It makes me angry. And this is why I'm talking about it, because these things are being normalized within our society. Like the fact that that's on a TikTok and people are liking it and people are saying, oh yeah, pushing for 3 hours is so brutal. Do you know that babies can come out without coached pushing? Does anybody talk about that? Precipitous labor, where the baby literally is just born. The fetal ejection reflex. It's wild to me that people don't know about that. And they work in labor and delivery, or they work as an OB. C-sections are so normalized. And people don't realize that C-sections are major, major abdominal surgery. Major. Oh, and another thing. I want to touch on this briefly. I'm fired up about this topic in particular because I just saw an article where a baby's face was actually sliced by the person who was cutting the mother open during a C-section. So the baby has a huge slash in their face. So again, that's a risk of a C-section. I could go on and on and on about it, which is not going to help anybody. So I guess I'll just continue on to what I wanted to talk about. Women are being robbed of this potentially incredible and beautiful birth experience. And it's heartbreaking to see, because women are not being given the chance to see how incredible their bodies are, how incredible their babies are, and what they can do when there is patience and a warm environment and a supportive environment, instead of people using negative language to make you feel like your body is failing. It makes me really, really sad. So if you're listening along to this episode and you have questions, or you have had an experience like this, or you know someone who's had an experience like this, or you want to open up a conversation with someone about this but don't know how to, I would want to, I guess, provide you with some questions that you could ask people, whether it's your husband or your family members who are asking you questions about birth, or even your providers. I think the first thing actually I want to say is, if you have not watched The Business of Being Born, I highly, highly recommend that. And this is if you are a doula or an expectant parent or a mother already. This kind of gives you an idea of how hospitals are run and the mindset of doctors, specifically OBs and labor and delivery nurses, and the fact that they really don't receive much training on these things that they are recommending to mothers who are giving birth. So I definitely recommend that. I actually did a podcast episode where we talked about the finances surrounding birth, and we talked about the finances if you are giving birth in a hospital versus a home birth. And I completely forgot about that, but it's a really good podcast. I'll include the link in the show notes for that. It's a 411k podcast. And it's really amazing to me that people do not see how much money goes into hospitals when you give birth in a hospital, when you're that person giving birth into a hospital. And there are a lot of people who spend a lot of time paying off giving birth in a hospital. And that's just not even talked about. And it's not even talked about the fact that you could be at home giving birth and it's significantly less traumatic, and it's also less money to do so. And you could be home. You could be home where your baby was made for in the first place, giving birth there, which is amazing to me. But another thing that I wanted to mention, I feel like this just keeps snowballing. Most women who have C-sections for their first birth, they're automatically told by providers that their next however many births are going to be automatic C-sections. And that is not evidence-based at all. It's just more of a standard protocol type thing. So if you had a C-section with your first baby, it does not mean that you cannot have a vaginal birth with your second baby. Just wanted to throw that in there. Second, third, fourth, however many babies you want to have. Anyways, so I wanted to leave you with a couple questions just to get you thinking, or to get other people thinking if they're asking you questions and you don't know what to say, or you want to do some more of your own research. So how many medical interventions are offered to you while you are in the hospital, while you're in labor? So things like Pitocin, things like nitrous oxide, things like I don't even know. I generally try not to think about these things because it just irks me and makes me upset. And I didn't receive most of these things. But C-sections, the cost of C-sections is more expensive than a vaginal birth, which they also don't tell you, unless you go about asking, of course. So tying back into medical interventions, how many births end up in C-sections because of medical interventions and care providers simply not being patient and giving babies the proper amount of time to come when they're ready, instead of saying, oh, you're 38 weeks, we need to induce you. Oh, your baby's not dropping, we need to induce you. Women and babies work together to let them know when they're ready to come. And that's also another thing people won't talk about. When a baby is ready to come, it sends a signal to its mom saying, hey, my lungs are fully developed, I am ready to be born now. That is something that every person should know, whether you are a mother, a father, an OB, a labor and delivery nurse. You should know that women and their bodies and their babies are capable of being born without all of these medical interventions. And you should also know the benefits and risks of all of them. So all of these medical interventions, there should be a discussion about them ahead of time. There should be a lengthy discussion about them ahead of time. What are the benefits? What are the risks? Every single person deserves that if they're giving birth in a hospital and they're being offered these medical interventions. And it should not be done while the person is in labor. It should be done ahead of time. And also, just bottom line, mothers should be listened to. They just should be listened to. That's all I'm going to say. Okay, back to the questions. Why are there no discussion of the risks of the medical interventions for mom or baby prior to when women are in labor? So there's no discussion of the risks for the mother, but even more so, there's no discussion of the risks for the baby. So for example, if a mother has received a ton of Pitocin, ton of fluids, their baby can be super lethargic after the fact. Or if the person receives an epidural, their baby can also be super lethargic after the fact. So we want to talk about the Apgar score. The baby can be impacted by the medical interventions that the mother receives. And it doesn't really seem like that very important piece is discussed in any way, shape, or form, which is insane to me. So how many babies are negatively impacted by these medical interventions? The other part that irks me even more so is the attitude that some care providers have towards doulas who are there to support their clients, and their clients being the mother and the father of that baby. There are a lot of doulas that I know, one in particular who's a very dear friend of mine, Hee, who works and attends and has attended many, many births, and she's received some flack from providers for asking legitimate questions. Asking them questions about things that have to do with their client in the hospital, or simply reminding her client, hey, you don't have to do this. You have options. We talked about this during our prenatal appointments. What do you think you want to do? Let's have the care provider leave the room and you and your husband can discuss it, or we can all discuss it together. And there are care providers that don't take too well to this, which is insane because it's not your body and it's not your baby. So therefore, it's not your choice. And you should not be fear-mongering someone into making a decision because it's what you think is best. Because again, reminder, not your body, not your baby, not your choice. It's their choice. Woo-hoo, getting fired up just thinking about it. And I guess the last thing that I would want to leave everybody with are some resources, because resources are awesome, and because research and doing your own research and making sure that you have true informed consent before you make major medical decisions is super, super important, even more so when you are not given true informed consent by the people who are fear-mongering into getting these medical interventions. First and foremost, we'll always, always, always recommend people checking out evidence-based birth. It is an incredible, incredible resource, and it's based in evidence and research. It's awesome. And reading research can sometimes feel a little bit intimidating or overwhelming for some people if you haven't been doing it for a super long time. So the woman who runs it puts it into very, very easy terms to understand. And there are so, so many, so many research studies that she has provided. It's an awesome resource. I will always say that you should absolutely check that out if you have any questions regarding anything, pregnancy, birth, postpartum, whatever. And then when it comes to documentaries, I already mentioned The Business of Being Born, but two other really great ones are Pregnant in America and why not home? Then lastly, I would mention some of my favorite books would be Birth Without Fear. By far was my favorite book that I read during pregnancy. January Harshi, who wrote the book, she's an incredible mother and an incredible soul, and she has so much experience. And I actually had the pleasure of hearing her speak when she was doing her book tour. And she just provides so much information from her own personal experiences and then also from studies and research, and she covers everything. She covers all of pregnancy, she covers birth, she covers postpartum and immediate postpartum, things you may face in immediate postpartum between you and your husband and your other children. Incredible resource. Other ones I would say are Ina May's Guide to Childbirth, Spiritual Midwifery, which is also by Ina May, The Birth Partner. The Birth Partner is a great resource for everybody. So if you're a doula, if you're an expectant parent, if you're a husband, and you're going to be supporting your wife during her birth, it literally gives you a play-by-play of all the different things you can do, all the stages of labor. It's incredible. So, so awesome. And the last one I would say is Birthing From Within. I will include all of these in the show notes because I want people to have these resources. I want people to feel empowered and educated in the decisions that they're making for themselves and their babies. And I also feel that it's not just for people who plan to have babies. If you're someone who's around people who have babies, whether it's your cousin or your nephew or your niece or whoever, friends and their kids, or someone you know who's pregnant, making sure that people have this information is so, so important. It's so important. And I just feel so passionate about this because I've been so worried about what birth is going to look like for people in general, because the system is just, it's all based on profit. It's not based on what's best for mom and baby. And then with what happened over this past year, I know that there has been so much trauma that's come out of that. And it's not just trauma for the mothers. It's also trauma for the babies, and it's also trauma for the family members, the husbands, and these things could be avoided, which is what kills me the most. Listening to stories, especially from, I'd like to give a shout out to my other friend, Sarah of Birth Uprising on Instagram. She is an incredible resource. I love using the word incredible in case you haven't picked up on it. But she shares information about the fact that these horrible situations for mothers and babies and fathers can be avoided simply by having care providers who actually care, who actually care about what's best for mom and baby, who are educated and who know what they're talking about. And she's also shared recently on her stories that she's had some medical professionals, well, Hehe has also shared this as well. She's had medical professionals attack her on Instagram, or in Hehe's case on TikTok, for saying, oh, you don't know this, you don't know that, you're not a doctor, blah, blah, blah. But at the same time, these people are not looking at evidence-based research, and they're not realizing that these protocols that are put in place literally make no sense, and they're not based on the health and the well-being of the mother and the baby. They're just based on money, people's schedules, and what gets people in and out of the hospital the fastest. So this may have sounded like a very long rant about birth in hospitals, and I apologize if that's how you took it, but my biggest point that I want to leave you with is that it's your responsibility to educate yourself before you make decisions, especially when it comes to your health and when it comes to the health of your children. It's your responsibility to do that. There are absolutely cases where care providers and hospitals and doctors and nurses are needed. There absolutely are, 1,000,000%. However, when it comes to the birth space, many, many of these emergencies, I'm saying this in air quotes, none of you can see me, are not actually emergencies. And it's robbing women of the potential to have an incredible birth, the potential to not be afraid to have a baby. And also too, just to feel empowered and strong and beautiful and like they can do it, instead of using words like failing to progress. You should be cheering that mother on. If they're feeling nervous and upset and anxious, you should be talking to them one-on-one. Hey, you know what? I know that you're feeling anxious right now. I know you're a first-time mom. I know this may feel overwhelming. I know that this is new for you and you haven't felt what a contraction was until now. But you can do this. You were made for this. Your body was made for this. Your baby was made for this. That's what I want to hear more about. I want to hear more about the positive birth experiences. And that's the other thing. I think I've said this on podcast episodes, whether it was my own podcast or a different one that I've been on. There are so many women who just hear negative birth stories because so many women have had negative birth experiences. And so the positive birth stories are not discussed enough. I had a really positive first birth experience with my daughter, and I'm thankful for that. But I remember not wanting to talk about that with my friends or family members or random people online. I didn't want to share how awesome it was for me when they were telling me how horrible theirs was. It made me feel bad. And that's sad. It's sad to see people talking about A, having a horrible experience because they were fear-mongered in the first place, but then also B, the people who had positive birth experiences not feeling like they can share that because they don't want to come off as if they're bragging. You know what I mean? There are so many layers. I want women to feel empowered. I want men to feel empowered. I want them to feel like they can support their wives. And I also want doulas to just keep doing what they're doing because we need doulas within this space. We need doulas to speak up. We need people to speak up. We need people to be reported if they're doing things that are not okay. So tying this all back in together, wrapping it up in a nice little package for you. It is important to do your own research before making medical decisions. The birth space has so much work to do. Majority of the time, it is safer to give birth at home. And I love you all, and I want you to have a positive birth experience. And I want you to go on to share that experience with others and empower women to do their own research, advocate for themselves, so they can also have an incredible birth experience. So yeah, that is the end of the very first episode of the Be Loud About What Matters podcast. I'm so excited. I hope that you guys enjoyed this episode, and I hope that you share it far and wide. If you have questions for me, by all means, feel free to reach out, whether it's on the Be Loud About What Matters podcast Instagram or my personal Instagram, which is the Healthy Balanced Mother Instagram, or you can also send me an email to olivia@healthybalancedbirth.com. I hope you guys all have a great rest of your night, and I will talk to you next week. Bye.